We're going to be talking about a father's love and how important it is and how key it is to the following generations. We're going to read right now Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. So if you'll stand with me, we'll honor God as we get into His Word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Father, help us to see how important that is today, that with all of our hearts we seek to glorify you, Lord, by raising our children for your glory. And Father, we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We are facing a failure in our nation like never before. The failure is in the area of raising our children, this next generation, to number one, know the Lord, and number two, live for the Lord's glory. We have totally missed why God instituted marriage. I've done, I don't know how many marriages since I've been a pastor in the last 30 years, but quite a few. And every time I do a marriage, I ask the young couple, why do you want to get married? And usually it's because, well, we love each other. She or he is fun to be with. We want to share our life. And I say, why does God want you to get married? And I always get a blank look. Now, the kids that are here now, you're going to get a step up on this. If I live long enough to do it, that'd be great. But it's a blank look because I never thought about why God wanted us to get married. Do you know in the Bible, God tells us exactly why He instituted marriage and what the purpose of marriage is? In Malachi chapter 2, verse 15, has not the one God made you? You belong to Him in body and spirit. And what does the one God seek? Godly offspring. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. The man who hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord, the God of Israel, does violence to the one that he should protect, says the Lord Almighty. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful. Public anxiety about crime in our nation is at almost epidemic proportions, and you wonder, is that paranoia? What's going on? No. The FBI tells us that 83% of Americans are going to have a crime perpetuated against you. And sometimes we wonder, where has all this come from? Why is there so much? Los Angeles, we look at it and we just kind of shake our head. But Chesnain just had a protest Sunday. Also, folks, I go past signs that are on the road. I go to SNEP's Senior Care Health Center, and right across the road is a sign right in their front yard, F Trump. There's hatred everywhere. There's violence everywhere. And we wonder, where does all this stuff come from? What's wrong with our nation? What's changed in our nation? You know, in our nation from 1976 to 1993, that's 17 years, more people died from murder in our country than died in the entire Second World War, Europe and Pacific. A lot of people are dying in our nation, and they're dying because children are out of control. Many children, I'm not saying all. There are some families that raise their children wonderfully, and they're doing very well, but we have basically two parties that run our country. I know we got some smaller independents, but basically two parties that run the country. And the Republicans and the Democrats both fight back and forth. What's the answer to so much crime? And they're literally spending billions of dollars on police forces and bigger prisons and whatever. None of it's working. The Democrats pass a bill that make people wait 5 days to get a gun because gun violence is so bad. But it isn't the gun, is it? It's the person behind the gun. The Republicans turn around and get a bill that gives the death penalty to more people for more crime. And that doesn't work either. What's the root problem? It's so important for us to get to the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is that our children are not being trained in the way that God wants them to be trained. Folks, the Lord instituted marriage and daddies and mamas to raise their children to love the Lord. When I was a boy, I can remember hearing people say, "There goes a God-fearing man or woman." Now, you don't hear that much anymore because a lot of people think fear is, "Oh, I'm really afraid." Fear of the Lord is a reverential awe of who God is and what he's done and what's yet to come. We don't teach that anymore. The Family Research Council cites an impressive array of data, and I just want to give you a few of these. There's a connection between fatherless families, and fatherless families is growing bigger and bigger. Most dads say, "Well, I'm not all that important." Dad, you are a key part of God's plan. Crime studies, violent rapists, 60% of them come from fatherless homes. There's no daddy in the home at all. Adolescent murderers, that's young men and women that shoot other people or kill them somehow. 72% are from divorced or no dad ever in the family. Long-term correctional facilities for juveniles, 70% come from fatherless homes. So it's extremely important. Today on television, on the internet, anything, a godly man or woman living in a family is portrayed on those shows as a bigot or an imbecile, one or the other. You don't see good entertainment where you've got a godly dad and a godly mother raising their children to know and love the Lord. It's just not there. When I was a boy, there were several programs like that that were quite entertaining, and they showed dad and mom loving the Lord, loving their family, raising them right, and it was really good for everybody. But children and wives that have a godly husband, I can't tell you how important it is to praise those people. Last week, I got a text on my phone from Mary Tidoff, and it said, "I want to praise God for my godly husband." A good father to our children. I thought, wow, if only more women and more kids would do that. That might keep dad in the home. We need to praise those that are really trying. Is Mr. Tidoff a perfect husband? I'm sure he's not. Is he a perfect dad? I'm sure he's not. But is he a good one? Yes, he absolutely is. He loves his wife. He loves his children. We rejoice in that. And so I want to just encourage you, if you have a godly husband, if you have a godly dad, let him know how much you appreciate that. Because Brenda has told us how important that is. It's foundational for a life that's functional. If you don't have a dad that loves you, if you never had a dad that says, "I'm so proud of you," it's going to affect you all your life long. So our God has given fathers a very important role in the family. Again, I want to read Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, because it's key to our message today. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." How does a father exasperate their children? The most important way is just not being there. Dad's never at the ball game. Dad never has time to talk with me. When I'm having a problem, Dad won't sit down and help me with my problem. It's always Mom. Folks, God wants dads to be involved with their children. Take time to coach that little league team or that girls' softball team. Take time to say, man, am I ever proud of how you're doing, hon. You've really made an adjustment. When a man walks away from his wife and his children, he's telling them, I don't care. Folks, that's the worst thing that can happen to a woman. That's the worst thing that can happen to your children. When you don't care enough to be there, to help them, to guide them, you're missing your whole function in life as a father. That's why you're there. Our God has given a very clear command to husbands how to love their wives. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does for the church. For we are all members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Folks, this is extremely important because our Lord tells us in Numbers 30, verse 1, Moses said to the heads of the tribes of Israel, this is what the Lord commands. When a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he said. When I was a boy, getting a divorce was a fairly difficult thing. You really had to prove some reasons why divorce was best for you and the wife and the children. When I became a young man, it was just divorce for any reason. You could just say, I don't love her anymore. And it was perfectly okay with the government. Folks, it should have never been okay. Because whether you love your wife or not, those kids need you. If there are children in that home, they'll never be the same without you. Our Lord wants us to know that he hates divorce. And if you're here divorced, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to offend you. But I want you to know that God hates divorce. And the reason he hates divorce so badly is what it does to the man himself, to the wife, and especially to those children. I want to read you Malachi chapter 2, verse 13. And I want you to think about this. Another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and wail because he no longer looks with favor on your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. You ask why? It's because the Lord is the witness between you and the wife of your youth. You've been unfaithful to her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Has not one God made you? You belong to him in body and spirit. And what does the one God seek? Godly offspring. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. The man who hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord, the God of Israel does violence to the one he should protect, says the Lord Almighty. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful. In our nation today, over 40% of the children in our nation are living in homes with no dad there. That's going to affect this nation. It's not just going to affect a family. When you've got up to 40%, it's going to affect the whole nation. Pediatricians are saying because of the great difficulty it brings into the life of a family when there's no dad there, they're seeing increasing numbers of emotional problems among children, such as attention deficit disorder, hyperactivity disorder, learning disabilities, and depression among America's children today. Why? Because, Dad, you are important. You have a role to play. When you got married, if you got married in any church that I know of, you made a vow, till death us do part. That's important to God. Even if it isn't important to you, that's important to God, and He's going to hold you to account for that. Those problems come because godly fathers do make a difference. I want you to think just for a minute about the Lord's disciples when they ask Him, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? And you may say, well, what does that have to do with fathers? I want to explain that to you because, Dad, you are a very important messenger from God to your children. In Luke 11, verse 2, it gives Jesus' answer. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. So we may be asking, what does that have to do with fathers? If a child never had an earthly father that showed those same characteristics to their children that God is saying we need from our Heavenly Father, your children will have a difficult time accepting the Father in heaven as their eternal Father. They'll have a difficult time trusting Him. And you say, why will they have so much more difficulty trusting Him? Because give us this day our daily bread. What do children who grow up without a dad in the home think about daily bread? Number one, usually we had very little daily bread and it didn't come from our father. It's mom and the government or whatever it was. Folks, this is important because when you're praying to your Heavenly Father, if you had a good father, now my father was not a Christian man, as far as I know, he never did, but my dad was a good father. He provided, he loved us, he cared for us. Maybe he had some faults, every dad does, every mother does, but I knew he loved us. And that was enough to make me pretty stable in life. Even before I became a Christian, I was pretty stable in life because if I got out of hand, guess what my dad did? He was brutal. He did a terrible thing. He spanked us with a belt, and I praise God for it. He helped me not to go astray. Folks, dads in the home is so key. When evil comes in a child's life, but there's no dad there to step in between and say, son, you're not going to do that. I can remember my dad. I had a friend in high school, and this friend was constantly getting into trouble. But he was a cool dude, and I liked to be around him, man. I was cool, too, when I was with him. And this friend wanted to take me away for a day or two, and we were going to have a great time. And my dad stepped in and said, son, you are not going with that boy. I know that boy. That boy is exactly like I used to be, my dad, talking about himself, when he was a boy. And he said, I know there's trouble coming. And my dad saved me from a lot of trouble because that boy just kept getting into trouble. Folks, you have a key role as a father, as a soil preparer. And you say, what in the world do you mean a soil preparer? In Matthew 13, verse 3, the Lord Jesus, he told them many things in parable. And he said, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. And the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop. 160 or 30 times what was sown. Dad, when your children are maturing and growing, if you weren't there to pull the weeds when they came into life, every child has weeds. Dads come along And they say, no, we're not doing that. You're not going to be able to do that, not in this house. When they get stones in their heart and they're just rebellious, it's dad's turn to come in and say, you're not going to get away with that kind of behavior. When I was in the military, I had a sergeant, and he did the same thing a dad did for me. He said, son, I can't make you do what I tell you, but I can make you wish you had. That's where dads come in. They can't make you do anything, even as a child. You can't make somebody have a heart right towards the Lord. But man, you can make them wish they had. And that's such a key thing to the life of a child. A boy or a girl needs to know that my dad loves me. My dad cares enough to take time to discipline me. When I'm wrong, dad will stand there and he'll let me know I'm wrong. But man, when I'm right and dad praises me, wow, do I like that. Folks, it's so important. We need to love our children with the love that God gives. In 1 John 3, verse 1, it says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. I mentioned my dad wasn't a believer in Jesus Christ. He's a good fellow, but he didn't have that knowledge. But how I admired my dad. How I wanted to be just like him. He was the strongest man that ever lived. He stood 5'7", weighed about 130 pounds. But to me as a little boy, when he would pick me up and put me on his shoulders, man, there was nobody stronger than my dad. I admired him. Folks, it's so important that we love our children with the love that God has given. My dad could give me all kinds of earthly love, and he did. But he could never show me the love of Christ. And that's where a godly father comes in. We get a double dose of love. We get the natural love we're born with. But God says in his word that he's sown his love into our hearts. And we can literally love our children with the love of the Lord. In Proverbs 29, verse 15, it says, a rod and a reprimand impart wisdom, but a child left undisciplined disgraces its mother. And I know many mothers that have to do the disciplining because dad simply won't. And I praise the Lord for those mothers that step in and say, no, we're not doing that here. But how much more valuable for a dad to simply do what God has called him to do. We don't have to be brutal. I spanked my children when they were little, when they needed it, but I didn't enjoy it, and I did it just as much as they needed it. I didn't overdo, and my dad didn't overdo either, but it's so important to let them know before you spank them and after you spank them that you love them. Let them know you're doing it for them, not for you. I'm not doing it because I'm angry with you. I'm doing it because I love you. And there has to be a correction. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, start children off in the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it. Do you know that children learn 50% of all they're ever going to learn by the time they're 5? Dads are usually so busy when their children are little that they don't take the time. Let your son, let your daughter know that they're a key part of your life, that you're here for them, that you care for them, how they just thrive when they hear that. In Proverbs 20, verse 7, the righteous lead blameless lives. Blessed are their children after them. Now, none of us are perfectly blameless. He's not saying that. But he's saying as you really try to serve the Lord, what a blessing you're going to leave for your children. Dad may be a man of God, but he has to stay at the high calling. Not for a year, not for 2 years, not for 10 years. When you become a dad, you are a dad the rest of your life. Your children are still going to need you when they're 50 if you're still around. They need the advice. They need the love. They need the guidance. Don't ever stop being a dad. There's a little poem that says, I saw tomorrow marching. I saw tomorrow marching on little children's feet. Within their forms and faces, her prophecy now complete. I saw tomorrow look at me from little children's eyes and thought how careful we should teach if we were really wise. Folks, that little child's going to grow up so fast that it makes my head spin how fast my kids and my grandkids and now the great-grandkids are grown. It's unbelievable. Our Lord wants us to know, our Heavenly Father, that you are the one dad that should show compassion to your children. It's where they learn compassion best. In 2 Corinthians 1:3, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Dad, you can comfort your children. I know it's usually mom that gives them that first kiss and hug and everything feels better. But Dad, your children need to know that you are compassionate towards them. Our Heavenly Father set the example here. Jesus Christ is about to go to be tempted by the devil in the desert. And the Father spoke to the Son. This is so important. When you see your children and you know they're facing that big test at school, you know that they're out for the team, they want to make the team, and they're about to do the tryout. Dad, you need to come alongside and let them know. Son, no matter which way this goes, or daughter, no matter which way this goes, I and your mother are proud of you. You're doing well. Listen to how the Father did it in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went out of the water. At that moment, heaven opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Now, why did the Father do that? It wasn't just for the people there. This was for his Son, because the very next thing, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Folks, the Father knew temptation's coming. And before the temptation came, the Father said to his Son, you are my Son, and I am well pleased with you. Dads, when you know your son or your daughter is about to go through a trial of life, the thing they need to hear more than anything isn't the answer to number three is this and that. It's, son or daughter, I love you with all my heart. No matter how this test goes, we love you. Folks, it'll take your children by surprise, because the Father wants you to know that he loves you. Our Father in heaven wants you to know it. And your earthly fathers, us, we should let our children and our grandchildren, and if you live long enough, your great-grandchildren, know how much you love them. Because that's the most important thing in life. As a hospice chaplain, I often sit with people that are dying. And I say, what do you most regret in life? And I've never heard one man tell me, oh, I wish I could have got further in my job. Oh, my education, it was so important. I just wish I could have got that doctor's degree. Almost without fail, it's I wish I had spent more time loving and caring for my wife and my children. Folks, relationships, that's what life is about. Jobs are good, education's great, but it's relationships that are the most important. In Matthew 3:17 again, a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. When our children were young, especially the two oldest, they got to be about 8 or 9, Shane and Amy, and they had several friends in their school. By that time, they were in the upper grades of the like fourth, fifth, sixth grade, right in that area. And they came to us and said, Dad and Mom, several of our friends' families are getting divorced. Are you planning on getting divorced? And they had real concern in their eyes because they knew what it meant, because they had friends that were already divorced families. And I still remember the blessing it was to tell them, no, Shane and Amy, Dad and Mom love the Lord. Dad and Mom love each other. We made a covenant that we are going to be together till death us do part. And we have no intentions of breaking that covenant. If you could have seen the flood of peace that entered their eyes, it was remarkable. Because they knew the cost. Brenda brought you some of that cost today. Folks without a dad in the home, it'll break hearts. It'll break lives. It'll break the lives of those that you love the most. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Dads, it's hard work to be a faithful provider, to be a faithful lover of your husband or your wife and your children, but we need to stick with it. We need to finish well. I got one more poem, and this one's really important. I hope you're a praying dad. I hope your children hear you pray from time to time, because it's important. This poem is called My Daddy Prays for Me. When Daddy prays, the house gets still. His voice is slow and deep. We shut our eyes, the clock ticks loud, so quiet we must keep. When Daddy prays, he doesn't use those words the preacher does. He prays for lots of different things, but mostly it's for us. His prayers get awful long sometimes and hard to understand, so I just wiggle up quite close and let him hold my hand. I can't remember all of it. I'm little yet, you see. But there's one thing I can't forget. My daddy prays for me. Folks, it's so important to pray for your children. Let them know that they're loved by you. Let them know they're a key part of your life. Father, we can't thank you enough for the gift you give us of being daddies. Father, help us to do it well. Those of us that have grown children, help us to help them raising their children. Lord, we don't push too far, but we're there to let those grandchildren and great-grandchildren know that they're loved. Father, use us and help us to do what you've called us to do. And we'll praise you not just in time, but we'll praise you for all eternity for the gift of fatherhood. And we'll give it in Jesus' name. Amen.